Well, it's good to be back here with you this morning. And I do want to thank all of you for the very kind cards that you gave me a few weeks ago and your very kind words of appreciation. So I'm very grateful. When I brought those cards home, my wife looked at them and she's like, "You must be a lot nicer to them than you are at home." So no, but I do appreciate that. That means a lot. And I'm very grateful for the opportunities that you give me here to share the Word of God with you. So I'm going to invite your attention one final time to Philemon. And I have derived much joy actually going through a book of the Bible with you folks. Even though it's a small little letter of 20 verses, it's been fun to kind of go through this little epistle together. So we're going to wrap up our time in this text this morning and see what the Lord has for us. So before I read, I'm going to again just read the entire epistle before us. Before I read, though, I'm going to ask the Lord to help us during our time together. So let's pray. Father, we are very thankful for our time together. We're thankful for all the days that you give us, but especially this beautiful day that you've given us this morning. We do pray for those from this church family who desire to be here but cannot because of other responsibilities that are going on in their lives, or other things that they're caring for, or because their health doesn't permit them to be here. We do pray for them that you would care for them, and we do look forward to the time when they can be back here with us. We do pray for our time together as we wrap up our time in this little postcard from the Apostle Paul to Philemon. We're thankful for the time that we could spend together the last several weeks looking at these verses. And we just pray that as we wrap up our time together, that you would impress and imprint the truth of this little letter to our hearts this morning. We pray for the help of the Spirit of God. We pray that He would allow us to pay attention to the text before us and put aside other thoughts so we can focus wholly on your word, and that He would help us to apply the things that we learned together this morning. Father, we desire to continue to glorify you, and we pray that you would edify us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me read the text before us this morning. This is the Word of God. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I, will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. So this morning we arrive finally, if you could put it that way, at the central thrust, the central purpose of this little postcard of Paul to his beloved brother Philemon. And it's in verse 17 where we begin this morning, where Paul writes, "So if you consider me your partner, receive him. Receive Onesimus as you would receive me." Now remember, we have been saying for the past several weeks that Philemon would have been within his rights as a slave owner to punish his runaway slave Onesimus, but that would not have been consistent with what being a Christian is all about. And in particular, that would not be consistent with the character that Paul had been praising Philemon for at the beginning of this little postcard, where he talked about and heard about Philemon's love for all the saints and the faith that he had toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that in verse 5. And Paul, hearing of this, gave him much joy, gave him much comfort, because in verse 7 we read, "Because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through him." Now remember that, where Paul says, because of Philemon's ministry, because of his character, the people of God there in Colossae have been refreshed by this ministry of Philemon. Because we're going to come back to that as we wrap up our time together. Now, two Sunday mornings ago, you and I looked at verses 12 through 16, and our focus switched from Philemon to this runaway slave, Onesimus. And we saw the return of this runaway slave as he was making his way back to Philemon. We saw Paul spending time in those verses that we looked at together a few weeks ago, highlighting the change that took place in the life of Onesimus. Why? Because he had repented of his sins. He had trusted in Christ Jesus, his Lord and Savior. And what we learned 2 weeks ago is that true repentance is realized by reconciliation and restoration. And we said that that was the characteristics, the qualities of what true repentance is: reconciliation and restoration. And those are the two characteristics, the two qualities of true repentance that Paul pointed out to Philemon that were true in the life of this runaway slave who had just come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was evident in the life of Onesimus, and he brings that up. He points that out as Paul brings his plea to Philemon. So because of Onesimus' new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, both Paul and Onesimus realized that Onesimus needed to go back to his master. He needed to be reconciled to him. He needed to be restored to him. And it would be painful for Paul. We just read in the text, Paul said, "I'm sending my very heart to you." I think we said when we looked at those two verses, it was like Paul was ripping his heart out. He had become close friends with Onesimus. Onesimus tended to the needs of the Apostle Paul while he was there in prison. And as Onesimus was ministering to the apostle, Paul points out to Philemon, it's like you, Philemon, are ministering to me because he is your slave. When he serves me, it's like you are serving me. It's like you are ministering to me. And Paul told Philemon in verse 14, I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but by your own accord. Then Paul suggests in verse 15 that perhaps it was divine providence. Perhaps it was the providence of God that allowed Onesimus to run away from Philemon, find the Apostle Paul, get saved, become a new creature in Christ, and now be returned to Philemon, fully restored, not only as a slave, but as a brother in Christ, a new creature in Christ, literally a new man. And as we pointed out, God used the sin of Onesimus against Philemon for good. Good for Onesimus, he has now a relationship with Christ. Good for the Apostle Paul, and now good for Philemon. So in the several weeks that you and I have spent in these verses, we have seen Paul carefully building his case up to this point in preparation to present his actual plea in verse 17 to Philemon, essentially asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus. What Paul had been helping Philemon recognize as he has been building his case for forgiving this runaway slave, and what we will continue to see this morning, is simply this. When you and I forgive, we receive more in return than what we gave. And we're going to see that that is going to be true of Philemon. When we forgive, we receive more in return than what we gave. So in these remaining verses, Paul's plea to Philemon to forgive Onesimus consists of three requests. And these are the three requests that we are going to take a look at as we wrap up our time together. First, verse 17, Paul requests, receive him. Receive him. That's the first request. And then secondly, in verses 18 through 19, Paul requests, charge me. Charge me. And then finally, in verses 20, as we wrap this up in, all the way to verse 25, the third request, refresh me. Refresh me. So let's take a look at this first request together. Receive him, from verse 17. So if you consider me your partner, Paul writes, receive him. Receive Onesimus as you would receive me. Now, when we are in the text of the Word of God, when we are in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, a wise pastor once said, we never want to bring the Bible into our times. We want to go into the Bible times. We want to go into that context to rightly understand what is going on, so then we can then apply those truths to our life. And so it can be difficult for us because of the cultural, because of the historical distance from the world of the New Testament, to understand the magnitude of the request, to understand the magnitude of the plea that Paul is making to Philemon. Forgive your slave. Receive your slave. Don't punish him for what he has done for you. That would be huge in that world back then. Philemon's family, his neighbors, his associates would have been watching closely. They would have been on Facebook. They would have been on the Nextdoor app to see, okay, let's see how Philemon handles this. They would have been talking about this around the water cooler at work. They would have been watching closely to see what Philemon would do with this returning runaway slave when he turned up at the master's door. Now, whatever his reaction was, whatever the reaction of Philemon would be, it would have an impact on the way that he would be viewed in his church and in the community there at Colossae. It would be no small thing for Philemon to grant Paul's plea and to forgive Onesimus. Now, perhaps you and I here in the year 2023 as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we find ourselves facing similar situations. Maybe we've had similar situations in the past. Maybe we're going through a similar situation right now where our society and culture can place certain expectations on us, certain expectations on us in how we are to respond to certain situations, in responding to those situations in ways that uphold their expectations or the world's expectations. They, in viewing how we should respond to things, they have their own expectations. Especially the unsaved world have certain expectations in how they respond to things or how we should respond to things. One person has said it like this, and it's true. He says, our great challenge as Christians is to have the courage to react, not in ways that keep our communities happy, but in ways that honor Christ. That's our primary goal as citizens of heaven, living in this sinful world, is first and foremost, our reactions, the way that we live, the way that we respond, the way that we move in this world, first and foremost, must glorify Christ, must magnify Christ. Now, obviously, we will never face this situation regarding a runaway slave, but it could quite possibly be something such as, what do we do about a person who has wronged us? Have you been wronged before? Sure you have. Sure you have. What do you do with the situation regarding a person who maybe has slandered you? What do you do about that? How about a business partner, someone that maybe you went into business together with, or maybe it's not even that official. How about a friendship where maybe that person has deceived you? They have lied to you. They have given you a reason to not trust them. Now the world would tell you, well, you're within your rights to act like this or to seek out revenge or to seek out compensation. And the situations vary. There's no doubt about that. But ultimately, the way that we need to respond to those things, and it can be difficult, is how can I glorify Christ in my response to this? Now, my wife and I were just in New York Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. I didn't really plan to mention this, so this is always dangerous territory. This is my second time there. I love going there. You just see things that you don't typically see. I'm not used to these tall skyscrapers everywhere you look. It's really a beautiful city. Obviously, there's a lot of problems there, and there's a lot of things about that city that isn't beautiful. But we really had an enjoyable time there. My wife and I have never really gotten on a plane together. We've gone with our kids, but just us two going somewhere. It was a good time, and she was sure not to tell me what it cost, so I would continue to have a good time. She said she got some deals here and there, but I never want to drive there. I've driven to and through Chicago a few times. I've driven in LA several times, and that's can be pretty hairy sometimes, but we depend on ride services if we have to get to somewhere in a distance in New York, or we'll take the subway system or something like that. And just the few Ubers that we took from the airport to the city and from the city back to the airport, these were seasoned drivers in the car, and they were at their wit's end in the car, you know, and I'm like, these guys know what it's like to drive in the city. I can only imagine what it would be like if I was trying to get around. I would probably just leave the car there, run out, and pull my hair out or something like that. But we have maybe not a dramatic similarity here in St. Louis, but sometimes it could be very easy to lose our religion when we're out on the highways here at St. Louis sometimes. The road rage is a real thing. And really, a good test of our Christian character is how we respond to situations when we're driving to church from home, or when we're leaving church, going back home, or something like that. The Lord always is gracious enough to give us those opportunities to grow in our godly responses to what's going on in the world around us. Now, a person who is not a Christian might respond in such a way that tries to save their reputation. And we're like that, aren't we, by nature? We want people to think well of us. We want people to think highly of us. And so a person who's not a Christian, that might be their first focus, their first goals. Well, I got to save face. I got to save reputation. But a Christian is to respond in a different way for a different reason. So ultimately, our response shouldn't be concerned with saving our reputation, but honoring the Lord Jesus Christ before a watching world. Imagine the opportunity that Philemon had here to present himself as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been stressing over and over and over again what Philemon would have been within his rights to do to Onesimus. But Paul, in his plea and in his request, is saying, obey Christ and live out your Christian life. Live out your testimony before that watching world. This is a wonderful opportunity for Philemon to show his relationship with Christ and how he wants to honor Christ. So the apostle makes a plea to Philemon to do something that would have been inconceivable for that time and place. Forgive and receive your runaway slave. And in verse 17, Paul not only appeals to Philemon as an old man, which we just read at the beginning of our time together, and who is a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said from verse 9, but now as a partner with him in the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is bolstering his request with a reminder of just how deep his relationship went with Philemon, having common feelings, common interests, common hopes regarding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's on Philemon's acceptance of this partnership that Paul bases his request. He goes, we're partners in this, Philemon. We're partners in this ministry. And notice, Paul knows full well how deep and true Philemon's love is for him. Paul is confident of his partnership, but he doesn't presume or insist. Again, take a look at verse 17. If you consider me your partner. He doesn't want to take advantage of that. He doesn't want to presume on this. He says, if you consider me your partner. Paul utterly trusts what is true. He utterly trusts what is right. And then he puts the ball in Philemon's court. These two are partners. They're yoked together. And Paul is saying, if we're partners, we're going to act together. We're going to be of the same mind with this. And that's the essential idea of partnership, being united in principle and purpose and practice. So we see what kind of reception Paul is requesting Philemon to give Onesimus. So on the basis of that partnership, Paul requests that Philemon would receive Onesimus as you would receive me. Again in verse 17. So again, this is turning everything on its head. Instead of doing what the society and the culture expected Philemon to do with the runaway slave, namely punish him, Paul essentially says, forgive him and give him the reception fit for an apostle. Now, if the apostle Paul were to show up at that church at Colossae, how do you think that they would treat him? Welcome him? Did I hear spoiled? Spoil them? Something. Roll out the red carpet, right? They would give them the Wi-Fi password. They would go overboard welcoming Paul. It would be an apostolic reception, right? They would have a potluck, everything. They would have everything laid out for Paul. Paul is saying, that's how I want you to treat this runaway slave. I mean, that's amazing. You give him the same welcome. You give him the same reception that you would give me if I were to stop by at your church there in Colossae. What a joy it would have been if Paul would have entered the home of Philemon, if that captive apostle had suddenly been freed and unexpectedly stood there in their church, in Philemon's home before their eyes, free from the chains of Rome. Paul is requesting that type of reception for Onesimus. Warren Wiersbe tells us that that word receive in verse 17 means to receive into one's family circle. Imagine a slave entering his master's family. Now, imagine this. Imagine a guilty sinner being welcomed into the family of God. You know, if you're a believer here in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what happened to you when you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that happened to you at that moment of salvation. But one of those things that happened is you were welcomed into the family of God. I almost am tempted to sing that song, Family of God, but I won't persecute you with that this morning. So if Philemon considered Paul as a partner, as one with whom he was in fellowship with, then Paul requested he would receive Onesimus, that runaway slave, on the same basis. This doesn't require that Onesimus be treated as a perpetual guest there in the family home with no obligation to work. That's not what Paul's talking about. He would still be Philemon's slave, but something's happened. Onesimus would be a slave who belonged primarily and ultimately and most importantly to Christ himself, and would therefore now be a brother in Christ to Philemon. If Philemon considers Paul a partner in the ministry of the gospel of Christ, then he would receive Onesimus back, not only as a useful slave, not only fulfilling what his name means as Onesimus, but a brother in Christ as well. So again, that goes back to our theme. When we forgive, we receive more in return than what we gave. Secondly, the second request from verses 18 through 19, Paul basically says, charge me, put it to my account. Verse 18 and 19, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Verse 19, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. So Paul goes out of his way to free up Philemon to forgive and to receive Onesimus. He's making this as easy as he possibly can for Philemon. Paul doesn't suggest that Philemon ignore the crimes that Onesimus may have committed against him and forget about that debt that he owed. Instead, Paul is offering to pay that debt himself. Paul, as with many of his letters, was probably dictating the note to someone as they wrote down what he said. I think the technical term of that is a secretary. There's a fancier word for that, though. I'll Google it later and let you know. I'll give you a call about 3 o'clock in the morning when it comes to me. Emmanuelus or something like that. It's a fancier word than that. But you guys are exactly right, though. A scribe, a secretary, that's exactly what Paul probably had there. Another person, could be Tychius there, writing this out as Paul was dictating this to that person. Yeah, again, that's something like that. Yeah. There's another word that's on the tip of my tongue, and that's usually where it stays until it's sometime in the middle of the night when it comes to me. But all that to say, this is an important thing that Paul writes, and we see this in a few other places in his letters. He says, I'm now writing this portion of this letter with my own hand. He's saying, I will pay this debt myself. This is almost like this is a promissory note that he's actually writing out with his hand, or like an IOU. He's signing his name, saying, I will take care of this if this is what you want. If he stole money from his master, Onesimus wouldn't be able to pay that back. He probably squandered all of that before he came to the Apostle Paul. So Paul voluntarily assumes the slave's debt. And as the spiritual father of Onesimus, he assumes the obligation for him. And then, what's Paul doing here? What's Paul doing here? We've seen this pattern before. He's reflecting Christ. He is reflecting Christ. He is living out and reflecting the gospel. This is a beautiful picture of what Christ has done for you and I on an infinitely higher plane. As Martin Luther, the great reformer, remarked in his 1522 preface to this little letter, he wrote, what Christ has done for us with God the Father, that St. Paul does for Onesimus with Philemon. For we are all his Onesimi if we believe. So Philemon, like God, has been wronged. Onesimus, like the sinner, stood in place and stood in need of reconciliation. The Apostle Paul offered to pay the price freely to bring about that reconciliation. That's the role that Jesus assumes in the relationship between us, the sinner, and God, the Father. Paul, like Christ, was willing to pay that price for reconciliation. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, your sins and my sins were put on his account. And Christ, the sinless Son of God, truly man, he was treated the way that we should have been treated. He was treated as a sinner. And then as we have faith in him, when we had faith in him, his purity, his sinlessness, his righteousness gets credited to our account. It's that great exchange. When we trusted him as our Lord and Savior, his righteousness was put on our account. And now God sees us through Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, and as you remember, this letter would have also been read in the presence of Philemon and Onesimus and into that church there that was hearing this postcard being read. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, Paul wrote there, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Verse 14, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, and I love this picture, nailing it to the cross. That's what God did in Christ. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So as followers of Christ, this is what it comes down to. We can forgive because we had been forgiven. We can forgive because we have been forgiven. I love this quote from John MacArthur. Never are we more like God than when we forgive. Never are we more like God than when we forgive. Exactly. So, continuing in verse 19, Paul says, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. So, as we mentioned at the beginning of our time together, Barry? Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
In that sick, twisted way, that German, that camp head leader, whatever, he ends up getting talked into by Oscar Schindler for Gift.
That's right, I remember that. Yes. I remember that. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. But then he ends up not forgiving, right? Is that, yeah. Yeah. I do remember that. It's been a while since I've seen that. Now, continuing in verse 19, as we've mentioned throughout our time in Philemon, Philemon was converted through Paul's ministry at some point in his life, probably while they were in Ephesus. So Philemon and Onesimus were not only spiritual brothers in the Lord, but they had the same spiritual father. And of course, that was the Apostle Paul. And Philemon owed Paul something far greater. Far greater. That's his eternal life. That's his eternal life. Paul led Philemon to Christ. David Garland writes, Paul suddenly converts Philemon from a creditor whose debt will be paid in full to a debtor who cannot possibly repay the price of his life. And just think in your mind, who are you indebted to? Who led you to Christ? Who did God use in your life to come into your life and give you the gospel? And then you believed at the hearing of the gospel. We're all indebted to someone. It was my dad who led me to faith in Christ when I was about 6 years old or so. I remember it clearly. And then I had people in my life who I consider to be my mentors, who led me, who directed me as I pursued the Lord in ministry. People that that God has put in my life who I am indebted to. Now, we all have people like that. We're all indebted to someone. So we should remember that when we are tempted to hold grudges against someone. If someone acts unjustly towards us, we need to remember we are debtors as well. We owed an eternal debt that we were unable to pay, so none of us has the right to hold grudges against anyone. And when we hold a grudge, and believe me, I speak from experience, when we hold a grudge, it consumes us. It consumes us. And it takes away us the opportunities that we have to glorify the Lord, to live thankfully before Him, and to live purposely before Him. It's been said the only reason a Christian won't forgive is because they have yet to realize just how much they have been forgiven. Thirdly and finally, we see the third request here. Refresh me. Refresh me. And first, Paul asks to be refreshed through some benefit in verse 20. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. I think if you have a New King James in front of you, it says joy. I want joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul, once again, referring to Philemon as his brother in Christ, tells him that forgiving Onesimus would benefit the Apostle Paul and refresh his heart. Benefit that we have there, at least in the ESV, is more literally profit. Give me some profit, Philemon. Give me some benefit here. Now get this. It translates, this word benefit, it translates the Greek word onanemi, the root word for the name Onesimus. So it seems like Paul is using another play on words here with Onesimus' name to communicate to Philemon that by forgiving Onesimus, Philemon would benefit Paul in the Lord. It would bring Paul joy. He would be refreshed by this benefit. Paul is saying to Philemon, let me find in you, as I have found in him, a true Onesimus. Paul is saying, you can be useful to me in this way. You can refresh me in this way. You can be a benefit to me in this way. Now remember in verse 7, I mentioned this at the beginning of our time together, Paul said that he learned that Philemon was known for refreshing the saints. Remember in verse 7, he said, "For I derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Now, what we see here is Philemon has the opportunity to refresh the Apostle Paul. In a sense, Paul is saying, "Philemon, you have blessed many others. Would you now bless me? If you forgive Onesimus, you would bless me. You would refresh me. It would be a benefit to me." And when we think about it, isn't that exactly what Christ expects you and I to do as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? To refresh others, to bless others, to encourage others. That's exactly what you folks do to me when I come, and especially a few weeks ago. You blessed me. You refreshed me. You encouraged me with your notes of appreciation and with your notes of gratitude. I appreciated that. It encouraged me. It strengthened me. Paul wrote elsewhere in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. This is from the Amplified Version, which I don't refer to a whole lot, but I like how it kind of put this verse out there. Galatians 6, 10. "So then, while we as individual believers have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being, and especially be a blessing to those of the household of faith." Who is the household of faith? We are Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I derive from you a few weeks ago, and when I continue to come. And that's what we're to do for one another, right? To be a blessing, an encouragement, a refreshment. That's why we come together on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, to, exactly right, to help one another, to encourage one another, so that we are equipped and refreshed to go back out into the world throughout the week. No, we may not all teach, and we may not all preach, but we can be a blessing to others. We can refresh others, and that happens right here in the pews. That happens right here as we pray for one another. That happens right here as we hear one another's burdens. And we can ask the Lord specifically how we can bless and refresh one another. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, we read, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do." So let's be a blessing to the family of God. Let's continue to be a blessing to the family of God. Let's be a source of refreshment for the household of faith, like Paul is requesting Philemon would be. We can pray specifically, Lord, help me, give me the ability, give me the opportunity to take the load from someone today. Someone has rightly said, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting some kind of battle, is fighting some difficult battle." Problems come in different packages. It seems like we got more problems today than we did yesterday. Some are financial, some are personal, some might be family or related to friends, situations that we're dealing with. If we, as the song "Make Me a Blessing" says, and I'm not going to sing it, "Bring some sunshine to make the downhearted glad. It will make their load lighter and bring them that benefit, that refreshment of joy." That's the ministry of refreshing one another. That's the ministry that the Apostle Paul was looking for from Philemon. Secondly, we see refreshment through obedience in verse 21. Paul says, "Confident in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say." Paul is confident that his brother in Christ will not only grant Paul's plea, but he's going to go above and beyond what Paul requested in verse 17, based on what he knew about Philemon personally and the recent report that he received about him. But Paul's confidence wasn't primarily in Philemon. It was ultimately in Christ and in the power of his gospel. Mark Johnston writes, where the gospel is doing its work in people's lives, we can have every confidence that it will genuinely change them and enable them to speak and act in a way that reflects the grace and beauty of Christ in their dealings with others. That's what Paul was confident in. And the fact that we have this personal postcard from Paul to Philemon, what could we safely assume about Philemon? What do you think? He did it. Absolutely right. I think that's a safe assumption. We have it in the canon of Scripture. We have it in our inspired Word of God. I think we can safely assume that Philemon did this very thing. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, exactly right. Now, if he didn't grant the plea, he probably would have got rid of the letter. No, I'm just saying, we probably wouldn't have it in our Bibles today. Philemon would never have allowed probably such a letter to go beyond the confines of his church family if he didn't respond to it positively. And Philemon, understanding and appreciating the fact that he himself had been freely forgiven by Christ, would not do anything less for Onesimus. What a beautiful application and a beautiful illustration of what Paul writes about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Again, another song that we have sung in the past. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has what? Forgiven you. And then finally, Paul is looking for refreshment through the prayers of God's people. Verse 22, at the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. The Apostle Paul believed that it would be through the prayers of Philemon and his church family that they would once again be together. And Paul was confident of that. So he said, prepare a guest room for me. Not only would Paul be refreshed in prison through the prayers of the saints, but also when the Lord answered those prayers by allowing Paul to be released from prison and being reunited with Philemon. Finally, in verses 23 through 24, Paul writes, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Paul sends greetings from his other partners in gospel ministry, almost the very same people who have asked to be remembered to the wider church at the end of Paul's letter to the Colossians, and to the church there in Colossae, the same group of people. The only person that isn't mentioned is Jesus Justus. He's not included in this postcard. So Paul finishes this postcard to Philemon with these words in verse 25. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In this personal letter that has focused on the plea for a Christian brother to show grace and to forgive someone who had committed a serious offense to him, someone who had recently come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul shows Philemon one final time how that can be accomplished. Philemon's ability to show grace and forgive Onesimus was based on the fact that he himself had not only received the grace of Christ when he became a Christian, but he was in daily need of that grace throughout his Christian life. And you know what? That's the same for you and I today. That is true for you and I today who follow Christ. No matter our personal circumstances, no matter our challenges, no matter what the challenges of life may be, the words of the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, ring true for all of us here this morning. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being so gracious to us and allowing us to go through these 25 verses of this little postcard from the Apostle Paul to Philemon. Thank you for allowing us to go through this together as a church family. And Father, we're thankful for the forgiveness that has been secured for us through the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know that in our lives, and maybe even right now, there are people in our life who we have perhaps not extended forgiveness to. And that can be very difficult for us to extend that forgiveness. But Father, as we have seen, there is no reason why we should withhold that because of the forgiveness that you have freely given us. I pray that all the more, especially after looking at this little letter together, you would help us to be mindful of how we can reflect Christ in our lives, how we can extend grace to others, and when the opportunity arises to forgive, that you would help us, empower us, strengthen us to do what is pleasing to you and what you have done to us through the personal work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, Father, we're thankful for this time together. I pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Would you stand?